There have been incredibly difficult times that often led us to where he would like us to go.
That they could administer to the people and minister to the people who they had.
Ultimate inner victory is how we embrace the greatest gift that God has given to us, His Son Jesus Christ.
Hello and welcome to Latter-day Profiles. I'm Brian Howard. I'm here on the campus of Brigham Young University, Idaho, and joining me today is Trina Boyes. Trina's in Nevada. Welcome, Trina. Good to have you here.
Oh, woohoo! It's so great to be here. You have had so many amazing guests. I truly feel honored that you extended an invitation to me.
Well, Trina, it's been a pleasure to get to know you. I got to know you through the LDS PMA, Latter-day Saint Publishers and Media Association, and you're now the marketing director for that association as well. So that's an exciting thing. And Trina has got a lot of titles. You're an author of at least 31 books. You can catch those on Amazon and a variety of titles. Also, you do online courses, podcasting, 3 YouTube channels, at least that I know of. Books to Business is one of your businesses where you help aspiring authors and business people to do exactly that, publish books and help them in their business. And also Movie Review Mom, where you review movies to help people know whether or not those movies might be the ones that they want to watch. So lots of iron that's in the fire, Trina, and I'm amazed at, how do you get things done in a day? That's amazing. You have so many things going on.
I love variety. It's the spice of life, as they say, right?
That's right. Well, Trina, I know you're originally from California. Tell us a little bit about growing up, but I want to find out about your career path because I know you've done a lot of education and other things, but what was life for you growing up in California?
Oh, I love California, and I recently moved from California to Las Vegas now, and it's so funny. When we got to Vegas, people said, oh, where'd you move from? And I would say San Diego, and they always said one word. Why? Why would you leave beautiful California or San Diego? But we've now been here actually for almost 10 years in Las Vegas. But I loved growing up in California. My father and stepmom still live there. And so we have plenty of excuses to go back. I actually now have a son who's living in Irvine. And, I love California.
So you get a chance to go back and visit. So it's not like you're exiled from.
Yes. Well, when COVID hit, we were getting cabin fever. And I said, we have to go somewhere. But we didn't feel comfortable flying. And, you're somewhat limited in what you can do when everything shut down. And so we said, as soon as the beaches open in Southern California, we're going to go visit our son. And so we did. And it was wonderful. I just keep thinking, why did we leave?
Oh, yeah, that sounds great.
But anyway, yeah, growing up was great. I have a twin sister, and we actually won a twins competition in California when we were growing up. I have another older sister. And then when I was a senior in high school, my dad had remarried, and I have I had a little brother born in California as well.
So lots of fun family members. Well, apparently, education, very important. You've got many degrees from BYU, bachelor, master's degree. You've got a doctoral degree. Tell us about, why education, what was the appeal to you and what was your goal?
Well, it all boils back to California. Growing up as a little girl, there were originally just the 3 daughters until my brother came along years later. But I remember my father sitting us down many times, just the 3 girls, saying, education will open doors for you. You absolutely have to go to college. And so that was just a given. We just knew we were going to go to college, and we all looked forward to it. And then he said, as a woman, you especially need an education because, first of all, you don't know if you're even going to get married. And so you need to be able to have skills that are marketable and you can support yourself. Or let's say you get married, or you do get married and your husband dies, heaven forbid, then you're still going to have to help support your family and all of that. Or maybe your husband or you lose your jobs and you're going to have to be able to support your family. And so as a little girl, that all made intellectual sense to me. It made logical sense. And I recognized the wisdom in that advice, never thinking that any of those things would actually happen, but they did. One of my sister's husbands actually did die from cancer. And she had, at that time, a doctoral degree and all of the degrees prior. And she was able to, and still is, supporting her family because she had some skills and degrees and experience. And then my other sister's husband lost his job and she was in the same situation where she needed to step in. She also has a doctoral degree. And we laughed because my dad was like, as soon as we started working on our master's degrees, he was like, wait, you know, I'm not paying for these extra degrees, right? But we just kept going because he had really instilled a love for learning. And in fact, you had mentioned I have online courses. I named my little online courses school Lifelong Learning Education, because I think lifelong learning really is so important to always be learning. Those classes there are for professional development. For example, I offer some classes where nurses can earn continuing education credits. And then there are a lot of classes or courses that are for personal enrichment and that kind of thing. Anyway, yeah, I'm obsessed with acquiring degrees, but more importantly, knowledge. And for me, it's so exciting when I go back to the BYU Provo campus where I graduated. It makes me feel like a young co-ed again. At least that's what we used to call them. Remember when you called girls co-eds? I don't know why, but I just feel young and I feel that energy from the campus. And, you know, both I graduated from Provo, but I teach online for the Idaho campus. And I love going to any of those campuses because you really feel the spirit. You feel that zest for knowledge. And I just love going there and being surrounded by people who are in the pursuit of knowledge and understanding. And really, it's not so much the knowledge, but it's the application of knowledge that we're going for, right?
Yeah, that's the hope anyway, right? That's what we like to, that's what we tell the students, and hopefully that catches on.
Absolutely.
Well, Trina, I know that, I was reading through your bio, you won a pretty cool award back in 2004, Young Mother of the Year in California. How did that come about? That's pretty cool.
Well, yeah, I just always say I look really good on paper and my kids look really good on paper. And yet I have mixed feelings because it's a wonderful organization that grants that honor as Mother of the Year, and they have Young Mother of the Year. And so those are for moms whose kids are all under the age of 18, which my kids were when they gave me that honor. But it's tricky because you don't want to be compared to other moms. There is no one mom who's better than another. But in that regard, you know, it's a tremendous honor, although my kids are just laughing. Here's a perfect example of how I'm not the mother of the year that title would make you believe. When my kids were growing up, all of my boys, I have four boys, of course, wanted to play video games. And so like a good mother, I always said, stop playing video games so much. You need to develop your talents and skills for your future career, yada, yada, right? And so one particular son just was obsessed with video games and I really struggled with him. And guess what he does for a living now?
You can guess, he makes video games.
He does. He graduated from BYU Provo campus in their animation department. And he is a 3D graphic designer that designs the creatures and the people, the characters for video games. He works for Blizzard. He's the one that's living in Irvine right now. And loves it, makes great money. And what parent doesn't want that, you know, your kids to just be successful and happy and productive and good and all of that. And so, you know, I learned to maybe not sweat the small stuff or even some of the big stuff, I guess, just because, you know, that was his passion and you want your kids to be able to find their passion. So
maybe I'll trim this part out for my 16-year-old who likes video games, but maybe maybe he'll be the one who's doing the same thing as your son. So we'll let him at it, I guess. I have to, a moderation in all things, right? I guess that's what we try to do. So you've got these boys. Tell me about, you know, trying to balance these things. You've got a lot of irons in the fire, very energetic, want to do a lot of things. So how does that work for you to try and, I don't know, juggle things, balance things? I don't know what the right term is to keep things going and your kids all going all over the place too.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that the question every parent has? How do you balance work, life, family, church, community, all of those kinds of things? And I don't know that I've done it incredibly successfully, but you just kind of keep going and you try to make room for all of those things that are important to you in your life. and take it one day at a time, really. When it comes to writing books, I wanted to be able to write one book with each of my kids. So far, I've only done that once, but it was with my oldest son. And so writing the book, I felt like I was, you know, doing my little author thing, but I was also doing something as a mother with one of my kids, which made it so much more fun. And that book was actually a dating and marriage book. And because it was kind of written for the guys, we called it Base Hits and Home Run Relationships, things women wish guys knew. And so to kind of go along with the baseball theme, I called my son's section of the book Coach Cooper. His name is Cooper. And so I gave, you know, my motherly advice, and then he would tell the guys, this is how it really works, you know. And it was really fun to hear the different voices, you know, of the book, and just to do that project with him. And then it just spurred this love of the topic that my son actually went on to create the very popular LDS dating app called Mutual. Oh. So it was really fun to see him spin off into something that is now his career, which is awesome.
That's right. Which is responsible for many relationships. So I guess that's that is a good thing.
It is. I'm so proud of him because, you know, I love to write books. I'd like to think that they were all very significant and had great impact. But truly, my son has helped so many couples get together that will bless them for eternity, you know. So selling a few copies of my other books just pales in comparison to just the wonderful thing that he has, or the things that he's doing today. I'm so proud of him.
Yeah, what was the drive to get started writing books? And now, you know, it's changed a lot. You don't have to go and seek out, you know, a publisher all the time. You can self-publish, which you've done a lot of that. How did you get started?
You know, when I was a little girl back in California, I remember just kind of, I don't know, exploring my garage to see what was in there. And I found this little 3x5 index card box. And inside were a bunch of quotes, handwritten in my father's handwriting. And I don't know why, but it just impacted me. And I thought quotes were the coolest thing ever. And I knew I was going to be an author. I didn't know what I was going to write, but I knew I was going to use some really inspiring quotes in my books. And so I started gathering them. So I had this little index card box, then it grew to a shoe box, then it grew to a filing cabinet. And this is before really computers and scanners. I had 12 computer filing cabinets filled with all kinds of inspiring stuff that I knew I was going to use someday. And I, you know, started writing manuscripts and sending them out with query letters. And finally, a publisher picked up one of the books that I had been working on and turned it into a book. And I was so, of course, excited, but I was really grateful because he wanted to help me build a career rather than just write one book. Oh, yeah. Because I knew I had a million book ideas in my head. And then this whole idea of quotes actually has now spilled over into a daily podcast called Daily Inspirational Quote with Trina Boyce. And I just think that that's so amazing that, you know, I think that there are things that happen in your life where the spirit really tells you, this is it. This is going to be your thing, you know, and it's a message from heaven saying, keep pursuing that thing because it could be a blessing to so many other people. And so I stumbled across this company that was doing podcasts. And I would have done it for free, but they actually pay me to do this daily podcast. And I just find these quotes. I share a little bit of the history of the author of the quote and a little story behind it. And then some practical application, a challenge to the listener. And that's it. In a real quick little podcast. And so, in fact, it's available on Alexa. If you have, she's sitting right next to me. She's probably going to start talking to me. I'm obsessed with these, what are they called? Voice assistants. I've got her sitting right next to my desk. And then I've got a Google Home Mini sitting over there on the shelves. Anyway, I love those. So you can just ask one of your voice assistants to listen to the podcast and it'll just pull up. I love that.
Yeah, the voice assistants that will be not be named so they don't go off in the middle of our conversation, which always happens.
She lit up, but she didn't say anything, so.
Well, you've kind of taken a page from the publisher who helped you out, who wanted you to be more than just an author of a book, and you did the same thing with one of the things that you do. How did that come about?
Yeah, well, now I know people are really not interested in hearing about me per se, but if you want to write books, I have some advice for sure. So I was grateful. I think the first bit of advice is to not give up, to be persistent. And I have seen great writers give up on the whole process. And I just think, oh, I have a dear friend who writes beautifully and he sold a few copies of things that he self-published. But I'm like, oh, he needs to be in the New York Times bestseller, you know, but he just, you know, wasn't persistent. And then I've seen mediocre writers, myself included, not give up and get those doggone books out there. And so what's, as you mentioned, it used to be much more difficult where you really had to query all of these big publishing houses. And for your mainstream books, I write both LDS and mainstream, you need a literary agent. So you got to hunt down an agent who believes in you, and then you got to find the publishing house. It's a whole thing. But now with Amazon, anybody can self-publish and throw something out there very quickly and even inexpensively. And so, as you mentioned, I'm an author coach. So I help writers who are either just beginning with an idea of something they want to write, as well as those who have actually published something and it's not really taking hold in the market and they need some marketing strategy help on how to drum up sales and build a platform and all of that kind of stuff. And so it's so fun. I feel like, you know, I'm just such a mother because when they launch their book to number one, you know, I'm so proud as if I had done it myself. So yeah, I really enjoy that process. And there, it is a process for someone who's starting out. It's tricky to know all the hoops you have to jump through and even what all the hoops are.
Well, you know, one of the things that's interesting about this whole thing is that the internet and everything has come about, you know, our lifetimes, it's like, wow, things have changed so much, right? Facebook didn't exist, YouTube didn't exist, all these things. And you have to become a study. You have to learn about these things to make them work for you. How has it been? Do you enjoy doing that? Learning about like the social media, the marketing part? Is that something you enjoy doing?
I actually really do. So for me, it's fun to get on there and, you know, it's social. And so you try to build an audience that you can interact with. You know, I think when the internet was first starting off, it was really a numbers game. And everybody talked about building your list, you know, your email list or your subscriber list. And so people were really fixated on numbers, and numbers are important. However, now what's really important, really in any business and certainly for authors as well, is engagement. So you could have, you know, 100,000 followers, but if nobody's engaging with your content, it's less valuable than if you have maybe a list of 500 and they're in your Facebook group or they're DMing you on Instagram or whatever. Yeah, so it's really important to connect. And with nonfiction authors, it's much easier because we have kind of didactic personalities. We want to teach and we want to listen and ask questions. And so I find that my nonfiction authors also usually are pretty good at it. But sometimes the fiction authors tend to be a little bit more introverted. And so it's really hard for them. It's just like torture to get them to do a public speaking gig or even a virtual podcast, you know, be a guest on a podcast or something like that. But once they get the hang of it and I'm able to help them build their confidence, then they start to just crush it.
Hey, let's talk for a minute about the LDS PMA, Latter-day Saint Publisher Media Association, which we're now your marketing director. How did you get involved with that? And this is a cool community for people, members of the Church of Jesus Christ, the Latter-day Saints, involved in publishing, media, podcast, all these things to get together to try and really help each other become better. How did you get involved?
Thanks. I love the organization. So thanks for the shout out. So I've been writing books for many, many years, and originally, there were some author groups that kind of invited members of the church. And so I was so thrilled and joined that. I've been a member for probably 15 or 20 years now some of the original groups. But they kind of skewed a little more towards fiction authors. And while I love reading fiction, I write nonfiction. And so then my older sister actually said, hey, I've just discovered this LDS PMA. You should come out to Utah and check out their conference. So this was a few years ago. So I went out there and I felt like, oh, these are my peeps, because not only are there authors, publishers, editors, and all of that, but there are media people, filmmakers. As you mentioned, I review movies. So I was all excited about that. Broadcasters. Did I say musicians? I mean, everybody media related. And I just felt like I have my hand kind of dipped into each of those things, or maybe it's the cliche, my toe, but all my body parts are dipped into all of those different areas. And so I felt like, oh, this is where I belong. I love meeting all of these creatives because it just energizes me. People who have an idea and then they create something and take it to market. For me, that's so energizing and exciting. I just loved it. And considering that the organization was really new when I first discovered them a few years ago, they were able to attract these big name guest speakers and, you know, the keynote speakers, as well as the class presenters. And I was just sold. And so, yeah, now I'm on the board and I just love it. So thanks for asking. And if anybody is involved in any of those creative elements, then absolutely check us out. We just finished our virtual conference for this year, but we'll be having some monthly presentations. And then, of course, already we're working on next year's conference.
You know, it went surprisingly well. I don't know if surprising is a word, but anytime you go from live in person to virtual, you never know what's going to happen. It went really well. What's been your experience? Obviously, you do a lot of stuff with your movie reviews and YouTube and that kind of stuff. So you know how to do this thing. What about conferences that way? How do you feel that that goes? And did it make a good connection?
Yes. You know, we were really worried about the networking or the lack of networking that often happens when it's virtual. You know, when you go to a live conference, you get to hang out in the halls and hug people and meet them and take selfies with them. And, you know, that's just super fun. And we live in a relationship economy. It's all about that connection. And especially one of the most effective marketing strategies is collaborations and joint ventures. So that connection was really important to us. And we were trying to figure out how can we do that. So we actually created several opportunities of just networking rooms. We created the Facebook group where people could then extend conversations over there. And during the actual sessions, we encourage people to get on the chats and start talking about what they were learning and asking questions. And, you know, was it exactly like the live experience? No. I mean, because also we have meals together at the events. And, you know, when you break bread with people, then you become good friends. It's just sort of something about food. I used to teach classes at Le Cordon Bleu, which is a famous culinary school. We actually had a campus here in Las Vegas. And I have the weight gain to prove it. But there's just something really special about food. And so we encouraged people to eat during the sessions while they watched them, but you know, it was a little bit different, but it turned out really well. And one thing that I think is even better than the live is because we recorded the sessions, people were able to continue watching other recordings when they couldn't attend that session live. You know, when you go to a conference, yeah, and they just have all these classes and you have to pick one and then you miss the other ones for life. So in this time, all of the sessions were recorded and we got to, you know, continue watching them all the way to the end of the month. So that was awesome.
Yeah, that was really great. Well, we're just about out of time. We got about a minute left. But Trina, what's the future for you? Continue writing books, marketing? What do you think moving forward?
Yes, all of the above. I will always continue to write books because I have a million more in my head and a bunch more that are half written on my computer. So I'll absolutely continue to do that. I love my podcast. I'll keep doing that. I have 4 YouTube channels, which are a lot of fun. And as you know, I'm obsessed with movies. And I started writing the movie reviews originally as a website. And then people kept saying, no, get on YouTube, do that. And so ever since I've done that, that's been a lot of fun. And I get to meet people all around the world that watch my movie reviews. And I try to teach simple gospel principles, while I'm reviewing the film, you know, like if there was a movie that came out in September, which is National Emergency Preparedness Month. And so I tried to teach simple principles of self-reliance and preparedness and, you know, that kind of stuff. But I love film. I think it's such a powerful medium in addition to books, but there's something really special. I'm a visual learner, so there's something special about the nature of film itself. Anyway, all of the above. I have two of my kids who just announced they're going to have our first grandbaby, so I'm excited for that new adventure. And I'll continue to do online courses and all that other stuff. Anyway, my message to anybody watching this is just get out there and try. All of those things that I do were super scary in the beginning. So just be brave. You don't want to get to the end of your life and say, oh, I should have, or I wonder what would have happened if I had done this thing. Just try it. Just be bold and brave and get it out there. It's going to be ugly and messy in the beginning. Whatever it is, but the world needs you, and the world is getting darker and darker. And because you have the gospel of Jesus Christ in your life, you have access to some light that is much needed in this dark world. So good luck. Be brave. Do it.
Trina, it's been a pleasure to talk with you. And people, do a Google, Trina Boyce, check out Movie Review Mom and lots of other places. Check out our podcast and YouTube channel. Trina, it's been a pleasure to have you, and I wish you all the best. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for the invitation.